My name is Melissa Withers. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm really happy and excited to be able to talk about this work. So the title of my presentation is Clinic-Based Videos for Domestic Violence and Human Trafficking Screening, What Messages Could Persuade Immigrant Women to Self-Reveal. So this is a little bit different in a presentation in terms of not just focusing on trafficking, but also domestic violence. I have no relationships to disclose. So there were a lot of individuals and organizations that were involved in this project, and I would like to acknowledge the attendance of two of the collaborators, Dr. Paula Tavro and our research assistant, Brittany Bloom, who are both here. This study was funded by Blue Shield Foundation of California and our community advisory board, which was really important in terms of what I'm going to speak about today, consisted of CAS, the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking, the 1736 Family Crisis Center, the Center for Pacific Asian Families, and also Women Helping Women. Okay, so a little bit of background on intimate partner violence in the United States. So research shows that at least one in four women in the U.S. experience intimate partner violence in their lifetime, but estimates go as high as 55% of women may experience intimate partner violence in their lifetime. And we know that there are more than 5 million IPV victimizations among adult women in the United States every year, and more than 500,000 of these required medical attention. In terms of human trafficking, these numbers are grossly underestimated and don't account for domestic survivors as well. But Los Angeles is one of the top three points of entry for trafficking victims coming into the United States. So, we know that there are a lot of barriers that women experiencing IPV or human trafficking may experience in order to self-reveal or to come forward and get services. These barriers include shame, embarrassment, lack of knowledge over where to go, language barriers, all kinds of different barriers. So we thought that the healthcare setting would be a wonderful place to be able to screen women for domestic violence and human trafficking. And in fact, in California, there is a law that says that providers should be screening. So providers could address multiple related health problems that are associated with being victims of trafficking or IPV or DV, as well as provide a link to referrals and to community services. Yet in the research that we did and research that's coming out of other places, we sadly find that this is often a missed opportunity. And in some of the conversations that we had and the readings that we did, time and time again, we found that domestic violence and human trafficking survivors had been seen multiple times by providers. In fact, one woman said more than 30 times during the time that she was being victimized, yet she was not identified as a victim. And so there, it's a missed opportunity for many reasons. So providers may feel that they don't have a lack, or that they have a lack of time. They don't have enough time to open up this whole thing that may come from identifying a victim, or they may not have received any training or limited training, and so they have a lack of confidence in being able to effectively treat victims. We also find that they may have a lack of awareness about what to do next, where to refer these survivors. Also, a lot of times the patient, the woman who's being victimized, may be accompanied by her abuser or her trafficker, and so there's no opportunity for her to be alone during the clinic visit in order to reveal. And of course, for immigrant women, there may be language barriers with providers as well. So basically, thinking about all of those things, we thought that we would try a pilot intervention in order to increase screening for domestic violence and human trafficking. Originally, we thought we'd focus on trafficking, but the funder also wanted us to include domestic violence. And so the final intervention was implemented in 4 safety net clinics in central Los Angeles. And we had originally wanted to focus mainly on low-income immigrant women who had limited English and maybe limited literacy skills. And so the idea of this intervention was to develop these screening videos, like PSA-type videos, that would be shown to all female patients above age 18. As part of their clinic visit, they would go into the exam room in private. They would be asked what language they spoke, and then they would watch this short video. And the intervention actually has already concluded. It took place for about a 6-month period. But I'm not going to talk about those results today. I'm going to actually talk about the formative research, which I found to be one of the most interesting parts of this project. So we proposed to develop 10 3-minute screening videos in different languages, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that process and how it changed. But the idea of these videos was to use this trusted friend type approach, where instead of having a provider or an authority figure speak in the videos, we wanted it to be more like a friendly conversation. And so these scripts, these videos, were developed with considerable formative research. We really had no idea going in what we should be saying exactly in these videos to make them as effective as possible. And so that's why we wanted to do the formative research, and that's what I'm talking about today. So the formative research included 4 focus groups and 10 in-depth interviews with key informants in English and Spanish. And the informants included therapists that were working with DV and survivors, members of our community advisory board, and those were the organizations that I just mentioned, who work with survivors and provide services, as well as domestic violence and human trafficking survivors themselves. And so I'm going to jump right into what we found. So the most common recommendation is that videos should have a positive and upbeat message, and that they should really focus more on the getting out of domestic violence and highlight the benefits or positive outcomes of being able to get help and to escape violence. And if you think about the PSA videos that maybe you have seen in terms of domestic violence, a lot of times they don't focus on this. A lot of times they have, they're sort of bleak and dark and have reenactments of violence, and that was not at all what our informants wanted. So they said that the main message should really be one of about hope and how to live, that you can live a healthy, productive life, that you can get out of your situation. And so messages like you're worth it, you deserve happiness, you are powerful, those messages were really recommended. Another important finding we had is that in terms of the content, that survivors and the rest of our informants felt that the messages needed to explain what abuse was. That oftentimes there's this misconception that that it's just physical, that if it's not physical, then it's not considered domestic violence. And so they wanted it to be really clear in the video that we were talking about abuse in terms of physical, but also emotional or verbal, sexual, and even financial abuse. Another important finding was it wasn't just about the message, but it really we needed to really think more about the messenger, and so the survivor who is going to be in the video, and that the audience, the woman watching the video, it was really important for her to be able to relate to the person, the messenger, the person, the actress or survivor in the video. So she should be very similar in terms of age and ethnicity. And so what we found then is that we needed more videos, or we still need more videos. So a lot of people talked about having videos especially for teens, that we needed to have a teen talking to other teens, that we needed videos for lesbians. We also needed a video specifically for trafficking, that we couldn't just group domestic violence and trafficking in the same 3-minute video because the issues are so different that it would be really impossible to get to the heart of what was important. So we did create videos that were separate for human trafficking. In addition, we then found out that making one English video was not going to be enough. So we ended up making 3 separate English speaking videos, one using an African American, one using a young Caucasian, and one using an Asian American, obviously speaking in English. So some other important findings of what to include in the videos. So they really wanted the videos to highlight the fact that they could trust the provider, that the healthcare provider is someone who is there to help you, that the provider will maintain confidentiality, and that the videos should talk about kind of what would happen if you revealed to the provider, that the provider is not going to force you to do something that you're not ready to do, like leave your abuser, go to a shelter right away. And so that was another recommendation. In terms of immigrant issues, so ALASA and for human trafficking, for immigrants, the messages needed to explain specific issues for immigrants. That they would not be arrested even if they didn't have documentation, and that they would not be deported automatically if they sought help. So that was highlighted again and again in our formative research that we needed to include that. For everyone, but especially for Latinas, focusing on how DV impacted children was thought to be most effective. And for Asians in particular, the big issue was talking about shame and embarrassment, talking about things like you are not alone, this happens to a lot of women, you don't have to be ashamed, you can come forward. So I wanted to show you one of the videos, but we don't have access to the web, so I wanted at least to give you the page. It's www.healthy-woman.org. This website is still up, even though the intervention has concluded. So in addition to the videos, we also did provider trainings. We developed small business cards with resources in multiple language, hotline numbers, that kind of thing. And this website has lots of information and resources. So you can see the first 3 there are the different videos in English, But we also had a Spanish-speaking DV video. We filmed one in Chinese and Mandarin, one in Korean with English subtitles for deaf people, which was also a recommendation. One in Thai and one in Vietnamese. And then we also had two separate videos for Spanish speakers related to trafficking. So some conclusions. So immigrant women in particular experiencing domestic violence or human trafficking may be reluctant, unable, or uninformed about how to access help. And so in our exit interviews that we did with women who had watched the videos, and we spoke to them after they came from their doctor's visit, the videos were very well received. And the patients found that these PSA-type videos shown in exam rooms and health clinics can be effective in raising awareness about what services are available, and at least maybe not convincing them at that exact moment to access services, but at least planting the seed that a provider, a healthcare provider, is someone that is there if you want to reveal now or in the future and would be able to help you. But what was really important is that you can't use a one-size-fits-all type approach, that although the messages in the videos were similar, the videos definitely varied according by language and ethnicity. And so they really need to be culturally relevant in order to be persuasive and to show a positive outcome. Here are my references. And I would be happy to talk to you more about the findings of the overall pilot intervention, what the next steps would be, or any other questions you might have. Thank you so much.
So again, we want to thank you all for coming to the session. If you have questions for our individual presenters, now is the time for them to field your questions. In addition to the fact that we have a sign-in sheet that is being passed around the room, so please sign in so that the Women Caucus can keep you abreast of what's going on and we can stay in touch with you. Are there any questions from the floor? Can you guys hear her in the back?
Nope.
Her question was, in regards to the videos, once healthcare providers had the women to watch the videos,
was there an increase
in reporting?
There was a slight increase in reporting. We did also conduct a survey with providers, and most of them felt that if the videos didn't interrupt patient flow as they originally were afraid of, so that was good, and that they felt that they were useful. Unfortunately, the intervention wasn't implemented exactly how we had envisioned it. Not all the women actually were shown the videos, but there was an increase.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question too. So you mentioned about how videos should show a positive outcome, and especially with regards to deportation and documentation. Was there any mention about, like,
so his question is about rehabilitation or in economic security for those people who were introduced to the videos and who were also told that they wouldn't, you know, be deported or anything else.
These sessions are being taped, so if whoever's answering could go to the
Okay, so in terms of services, yes, we did want to talk about what services would be available. That was something that came up in the formative research, that we should mention what services might be available. So The video talked about you could get counseling, you could go to a shelter if that's important, you may get job placement assistance, but we didn't want to make any specific promises. We wanted to just basically say what might be available, and then, because 3 minutes is a very short amount of time, and then to say, talk to your provider, and then kind of at least get the dialogue going that way.
Okay, so the question is around the spike before and during sporting events and whether or not a year-long study would give more insight into the spikes that are not during the sporting events time, if that's around holidays or other events.
Thank you for your question. That's a good point. I mean, we don't fully understand, like, what's going on, so I think we need to collect for a longer period of time and then fully understand what's happening within the environment. So one is sporting, they could be like, you know, a car show or something else that's going on. So to capture all the different social events, including the sporting events, and then maybe even have like a baseline, like maybe 2 years or maybe a similar city, like I said, maybe Des Moines and Omaha and stuff. And so we see some, and then we were also told that do be careful, because once the traffickers figure that you're going to be tracking it, they'll move to a different way of putting the ads out. So it may not be Backpage, because they know you're tracking Backpage and stuff. You can just, you know, Google on the internet. They're a lot more savvy than you can give them credit for. So yeah, we need to better understand this. I mean, everything that's going on and whether this is really an issue in there. So.
Actually, I had a couple follow-up questions.
Okay.
We're still trying to figure that out. And so one approach is to do like a content analysis. And so we're working with people in public health informatics is to take those ads and try and analyze them. And then maybe even like set up with FBI to set up like reverse sting operations and to see like a cross-validation to see whether this is exactly what's going on in there. So are they really being trafficked? And at the very least, we can maybe make a separation between minors and adults. So if you say minors, period, is trafficking, and then adults, you don't quite know whether it's sex work, so independently people are posting their ads and are doing it, or even if they are adults, they are forced, meaning they have been trafficked. And so it becomes a little bit gray area with the adults, but I think we're looking at first, can we figure out if they are minors? And Nebraska is a mandatory reporting state, meaning if you see any abuse that's going on with minors, you need to report it. So we're looking, and hopefully our review board will allow us to do that, to work closely with law enforcement and FBI, and set up the sex trafficking matrix to be able to understand fully what's happening and do like cross validations in terms of sting operations, etc. So does that answer your question?
It does. I think there's just a huge need in the work that we do to differentiate people not together as
Yeah, and very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Question for the first speaker.
Okay.
You mentioned about the story you told about the girl who was raped by her neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
that's a great question. Thank you. I think that I can speak from, we haven't really looked at that quantitatively, but I can speak from the qualitative data that we have that definitely a lot of girls who reported getting pregnant as adolescents talked about their parents' religious convictions, like in the same breath as kind of talking about how they had to leave their families and things like that. So I think that that is definitely there. In terms of, I also want to talk about that at the U.S.-Mexico border, it's a little bit different than other regions of Mexico, in that we see a lot of a lot more adolescents entering into uniones libres, which are basically kind of like living with your boyfriend beforehand. So that, which is something that in southern Mexico would be very not common at all, in a lot of more maybe rural communities at the U.S.-Mexico border in Tijuana and Ciudad Juarez, which are both very urban cities, very close to the United States, it's much more common for very young girls, like, you know, one of the participants, I think the last participant I talked about, leaving her family after getting pregnant, living with her boyfriend, and then being abandoned by him. So I think that that also, I think religion is a component, but I think that this area is much less, is much more influenced by kind of the culture of the United States and kind of dating before marriage than other parts.